Hi, everyone. Welcome to Evergrowing. I'm Sabrina Wong, and I'm the CEO of Evergrowth Coaching. I coach 8 to 9-figure revenue CEOs, and I want to bring to you the biggest breakthroughs from coaching sessions and the top tips to running a successful team. Evergrowing is about understanding yourself better so that you can understand your people and run a world-class team. I really believe signing up for leadership is to sign up for a journey of constant self-growth. And if you have an evergrowing mindset, you have an evergrowing culture, and then you can achieve exponential results. And now, let's dive in. The biggest misconception that people have about empathy and emotional awareness and leadership is that it makes them soft. So let me give you two stories. One is more relatable, one is very extreme. So I'll tell you about the extreme first, and you'll know what I mean. Once upon a time, I met a new CEO who's looking for coaching, first time meeting, and we talked about how he wants to show up as a leader. And he shared with me he wants to inspire with fear, because he's seen a lot of stories like Steve Jobs and Elon Musk, and fear seems to be quite a good motivator. So this is fear, and inspiring fear in people is an active act of disconnecting and not creating that relationship, right? So in this example, he really believed that if there is fear, people will listen more, people will be motivated more. But we actually have a lot of research that suggests otherwise, because when you ask people to feel fear, they feel stressed, their cortisol rises, and their nervous system goes into a more heightened state. And in that state, we simply don't have enough brain capacity to do good cognitive work. So we know that with science, and that doesn't work. And unfortunately, lots of CEOs still think that's a good style to go after, probably because you do see short-term benefits. The long-term fallback is that you have low retention and low productivity. Now, in this extreme example, people have asked me, well, then how did Amazon go on to be a great company with lots of people turning over all the time? To that, I say, it depends on what your dream is, who you're trying to be. If your dream is to make as much money as possible and have as much success as possible, that may be a different type of coaching, a different way of getting there. But if your goal is to treat people right, to create a team where everyone is doing their best work, for you to feel fulfilled in your work, then it requires empathy and connection to make that happen. I'll give a normal example, a more relatable example of how disconnection and going away from empathy could show up in leadership. The telltale sign is hiding away from vulnerability. I've had a client who is a leader of a team, and he was actually feeling very nervous about the upcoming quarter. So they've done all the goal setting and they've checked all the boxes, and he decided to not share any of his fears with his teammates. That created a gap because his teammates are with him every single day. You can't really hide emotions from other people. They could tell that he was scared, but when that wasn't communicated, it actually made the teammates feel more scared, and they felt like they had to do things on their own and not bother their manager. Eventually, we were able to smooth that out in a group session, and as soon as the manager discussed, I was nervous too. I'm feeling scared too, but this is what I'm doing about it. Everyone's shoulder almost relaxed, and they were like, okay, so I'm not alone in struggling. We can do this together. It made the teammates so much more willing to help each other and their manager, and the manager received so much more help because he was picking up a lot of icy work. Another question that people always ask is, if I'm feeling fearful, aren't I supposed to protect my team? I probably shouldn't be panicking in front of my team, right? Then probably I lose authority. So that's a nuanced question. Vulnerability has the right type of spectrum when it comes to leadership. The general rule of thumb that I tell my clients is share your authentic fear and nervousness and panic and whatever they may be when you've already processed it. So what that means is you can talk about it without getting activated, without getting extremely activated, and you have a solution for it. Solution could be, I've accepted it. I have action items to do it. I have the next steps. I have questions to ask myself. So when you share a full package of fear like that, when you say, I'm scared about our next quarter's goals, I've already sat on it. I'm still a little bit scared, but I'm mostly okay. And here are all the things I'm going to do. That brings people together. And it's a connecting moment. So it is probably not a good idea for you to be panicking and showing up to a meeting and say, I don't know what I'm doing. I've lost my center. I'm extremely activated. Well, that puts your teammate at a position where they have to calm you down, or they may feel like they need to calm you down. It's not their job to do that for you. As leaders, we need to take total accountability of our emotional landscape, and we're there for other people. So on the internet these days, there's a lot of people talking about performative vulnerability, really crafting the story that seemed very vulnerable, but it's not coming from a genuine place. They're coming from wanting to get something out of the other person. People can typically sniff it out, and if they don't, and if they find out later after they've already empathized with you, that could be a trust-breaking moment. Performative vulnerability, especially when used in a company, is not great for your image, because these are people who already know you. They're more likely to sniff it out of you, and it actually creates less trust than creates more trust. Then the other type of vulnerability that we talked about is if you're panicking, things are activated. I wouldn't say that's true vulnerability. That's actually coming from your intention of, I am suffering and I need help and I don't know what's going on. It's wanting to ask for help, right? So the intention is different. True vulnerability, on the other hand, is I'm suffering. I take ownership of this. It's hard, but I want to invite you in. That's collaborative. You see how the intention's different? Around vulnerability and all these different types of vulnerability, it all goes down to intention and why you're doing it. And at the end of the day, you have to ask yourself, why am I sharing something? This thing that I'm sharing should be a little bit hard for me to say. It shouldn't be something I've rehearsed over and over again about something tragic that happened in my life. And my intention is to connect with the other person. I'm taking a leap of risk, yet I'm still in control. I'm not asking for help and I'm not drowning in my sorrow. So CEOs will come to me and wanting to ask about how do they cultivate more empathy? How do they make their team feel more heard and seen? And how do they make their communication better? The overall arching principle is slowing it down. And I'll give you two examples, one being an outgoing communication. The CEO wants to say something. And one being a receiving communication, the CEO is hearing something from someone. Because empathy only exists in the context of relationships. We're all relational beings, and it exists in the context of communication. In some of these coaching sessions, I'll work with the CEO. His biggest goal is to communicate clearer and more empathetically. So if he's trying to say something, I'll first ask him, your first draft, what's coming up to you? What do you want to say? And then we'll actually write it down. Like, use your written tools as a way of seeing your thoughts in front of you is very, very helpful. And then I'll ask him, what are you trying to get at? What is the intention behind it? What is the biggest goal? How do you want people to feel? And then with that question, we'll edit his message a little bit. Then I'll provide my feedback and I'll say, when you say this, this is how it makes me feel, right? When you say this, it makes me feel better. So then we slow the entire process down until he has his final draft, and then we'll role play a little bit. If he's feeling a little bit scared about saying this to a colleague, then I'll ask him, what do you expect the other person to respond? And we'll play around with it. Because at the end of the day, it's like learning any new skill. You have to do it slowly and you have to build the reps. In time, you'll become a better and better communicator. The second example, building empathy in receiving a communication from someone, is to really make sure you understand who they are in that moment, how they're feeling, what they're trying to get at. Did you understand their point? So a lot of times this is already after the fact. The CEO comes into a coaching session and said, this person said X, Y, and Z, and I'm feeling this way. So I will ask them to tell me exactly what this person said, and then what did the CEO, my client, think that they said? So that's already very helpful in that comparison. Sometimes we find commonalities, sometimes we find very different messages. And then I teach them the skill of reflective listening. I think every single human being, no matter their job, whatever they're doing, could become better listeners if they use reflective listening, because listening is a core part of communication. What all they need to do is, after someone said something, slow down and say, I heard you say this. Is that right? I heard you say X, Y, Z. It sounds like you meant this. Did I get that right? So that's almost creating a communication loop, right? A picture is thrown at you. I'm going to throw back a picture that I drew. Did we draw the same picture? Yes or no? What are some of the differences? So that's basic level reflective listening. On the content of the communication, if you're wanting to go advanced empathy, you can reflect back how they're feeling and what their motivations are. Let me give you an example. So you have a team member come to you and say, I don't know if the project is going to complete in time. This is because one of our bigger customers is dropping out. So then on content, you might say, okay, what I'm hearing you say is we might miss the deadline. Is that right? And then she might say, yeah, you got it. That's simple. Simple enough. The advanced level is reflecting on the emotions. Now, you know your teammate. You know that she may be worried even though she seems really calm right now. And this is a project that she's been working on for the last 8 months. So then you might reflect back and say, I think that knowing you, this might be kind of stressful for you. Are you feeling okay? Are you feeling worried? I know you've been working on this for the last 8 months. What you're doing then is creating a space and inviting people in to say, I know what you're feeling. This is where empathy might come in, right? I can put myself in your shoes and imagine how you're feeling. That's a wonderful gift that you can give to anyone. And then this person might open up or they might not, but if they do open up, it gives you opportunity to reflect some more. And you could say, I know it's your ambition to be promoted to director, and this is something you must be worried about. Do you want to talk about this? Can we talk about your motivations about promoting? And maybe I can help you problem solve how you can still make the same kind of impact, even if this happens. You see, with a little bit of reflective listening, it turns a conversation as simple as a status report to you as a leader showing up, supporting your teammate, and making space for them.